Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Nick, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Sunday night, Duran Duran, Matthew Lillard will be in here from all the screen movies on Monday. And tonight, it's just the love that the two hosts find between each other. My ankle feels much better.
I told you.
Thanks to Drew and
anti-inflammatory
my magic
drugs.
Potions.
Yes.
But you were better by morning. You have little faith.
I did feel better. I mean, you know what's weird, though?
Yeah, even you walked out of here last night, you were lecturing. No, with me, it peaks out at the first day, and there's nothing going to stop it.
Well, they didn't have those highfalutin drugs back when I used to sprain my ankle on a regular basis.
I think it was gout anyway.
My thigh remains sore. That's a little distressing.
You think that's gout?
I think that's gout. Yeah, Anderson. One more reason to hate Anderson. Why is it gout? Guy can't twist his ankle without getting gout?
When it came on late and with the heat and the intensity of the swelling and all. Synovitis.
That's what gout is? How do you get rid of the gout?
We did it.
Fantastic. All right, Allison?
Allison?
Yes?
Number 17, what's up?
I know what it is, but I just was wondering, me and my boyfriend kind of decided that we wanted to try oral sex. And I get the concept of it, but I really don't know how to go about it.
I'm actually delighted to have questions like this.
Yeah.
I thought kids these days are starting at 14.
Well, you know what you do, right?
No, not really.
Well, you know it involves your mouth, right?
Yep. That'd be the oral part.
That would be.
And then, you know it also involves his anus, right? Now, you know it involves his penis, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are you taking notes, by the way? Because I don't want to just be talking.
She's looking for some tips, Adam, so to speak.
You're looking for technique?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
And a little coaching.
A little
pep talk.
All right. So you put your mouth on his penis, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it important not to use your teeth or bite down or do anything like that, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're going to get a lot of advice from a lot of your screwy girlfriends, but I want you to listen to me.
Okay.
I'm a guy. I have half a penis. I know what I'm talking about.
Half?
The point is a third of a penis. The point is you need to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whatever rhythm you establish, you should stay with that for a little while.
Okay.
And mostly what guys are looking for is enthusiasm.
Mm.
Not so much technique. I mean, I've never had a BJ that I really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Certain techniques are better than others, but I've never really had any major complaints.
What do you mean by enthusiasm?
Well,
like it's something,
act like you want to be there.
You want to do that, yeah.
You know what it is, Allison?
What's that?
It's like dancing. Maybe you're not the world's greatest dancer, but as long as you're out there really working it, the guys in the band are happy. They want to see you sweating out there a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, put the thing in your mouth and just get a little consistency going. I'm not exactly sure what the action is. Just see if you can keep your teeth out of there.
Okay.
And, you know, if you get your tongue involved, that's fantastic.
Okay.
But don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Okay.
And what about your boyfriend?
What about him?
Is he going to do some oral sex to you?
I don't know.
But you
haven't really discussed that.
Well, you discussed oral sex in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could assume that maybe something's heading your way as well, right?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Well, he's inexperienced as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you guys will discover it together.
Okay.
That does not help her at all.
Well, I don't know what the technique...
Give me the book.
I could give him tips, but he's not on the phone. So as far as you go, just keep consistent.
And don't be afraid to instruct him. Guys like instruction.
Yeah, and don't be scared to ask him what he likes or what feels good. You guys will learn together. Be like Sesame Street on his penis. All right?
Okay.
All right. And listen, leave his butt alone and leave his nards alone.
Okay.
And guys don't like that.
Okay.
But Cosmo.
Yeah. Cosmo would suggest that you put, you know, one finger in his anus and the other one up his taint and then take his nuts and try to tie it into some sort of origami swan. Please, ladies. Who are you kidding? Leave that ass alone. Leave them nuts alone and just get busy on the penis. That's all we want. If you want to reach up and tweak a nipple, well, that's your business. I'm not going to stop you from that. I have sensitive nipples.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I don't mind a little nipple play.
But it minds you talking about it.
See,
too much. Well, you're not high Viking, I can't talk to you.
You
last night we had elaborate discussions about our preferences.
Well, I was high on the Viking.
It was easy.
Drew, you refuse to accept me as a sexual being, and that's something we need to talk about. Leslie?
Hi.
You're 21. What's up?
Hi. Actually, this is kind of embarrassing for me to talk about, but I feel comfortable talking to you guys. So
thank you.
Okay. Well, see, there's this girl I work with, and she's in her 20s, too, and I'm really, really attracted to her. Like, I cannot stop staring at her when I'm at work. And it's really embarrassing because we'll, like, meet eyes and stuff, and she'll smile at me, and I'll just, like, get all tingly and everything. And, well, the thing is, I don't really know if she's like, you know, that way or whatever.
You got a feeling that she is?
Actually, I don't. I really don't know. I've only talked to her a couple of times. You know, like I said, I look at her a lot, and, you know, she knows me, and I know her a little bit. And it's really hard because, like, I want to, you know.
You a lesbian?
Well, I don't, I have a boyfriend, but I haven't really, you know, experimented with women or anything like that before.
What's wrong with your boyfriend?
Well, we've been together for like 3.5 years, and I'm just kind of getting, you know, kind of experimental.
We have found that sometimes women get this way not because they're so much interested in women as they're interested in out of the relationship.
True.
And this is sort of a safe way out. Now, you're not really cheating on him because, after all, it's
just some girl at work.
Yeah.
Right.
It seems like you're done with the relationship.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's familiar, but that's about it.
I suppose so. I was just kind of wondering if there was, like, a tactful way I could talk to her and, you know,
wait,
just kind
of... Before we get it, let's get rid of this relationship.
You want to have sex with her?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Don't you think that might disturb your boyfriend?
Actually, no, he's into it. I've told him about, you know, that I'm interested in this girl, and he's always saying,
he
may be on his way out, too.
Yeah, if you were 8 years older, this relationship would have lasted about 6 weeks?
7 weeks.
Yeah, 7 weeks. And you're not used to making assessments about the relationship, whether you wanted to continue, and then how to get out.
Right.
What kind of place do you work at?
Well, I don't really want to talk about it. It's kind of like a telemarketing place, but not really telemarketing.
Nice.
Phone
yeah.
Sex.
Really?
No, not phone sex.
Is she above you or below you?
She's above me. Not that much above me.
I see. And is she single?
Actually, I don't know. I haven't had that kind of a conversation with her yet.
All right. And how are you doing? Are you attractive?
I think so, maybe a little bit. I mean, I'm kind of working on myself.
What are you working on?
Maybe losing a couple pounds here and there.
Yeah, funny. Drew had that 5.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to do in the next month or so.
I see. You want to lose a few pounds and then turn over a new lesbian leaf?
I understand. Maybe.
All right. You're fat.
Hey, how dare you?
My God.
Leslie.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask the lady if she wants to have a drink after work?
I think I could do that. I'm just not quite sure how to. I don't want to, like, scare her away.
Let me tell you something. Nothing's going to happen unless you get a few cocktails in her. I'll tell you that right now.
But listen.
But let me explain about the women. They're all dying to be lesbians on some level.
Oh, my God. Where are you?
Not.
You are. What do you have tonight?
Not a couple of highballs.
Okay.
Not. How dare you? Not dying to be lesbians in terms of a lifestyle, but they'd love to have an experience with a woman. I think a lot of women want to have an experience with a woman, almost like they want to check it off a list, say they've done it, sort of satisfy that sexual requirement.
You've always said that was a male thing to have
like a scavenger. Like a scavenger hunt.
But you've always said that was a male thing to have a scavenger hunt. The women don't do that so much.
They don't as far as the positions and the anal sex and all that kind of stuff. But these days, I think a lot of women feel like they need to experience a woman once.
They're missing something.
At some point, just to see what everyone's talking about.
Well,
and that ain't going to happen sober. They need an excuse.
Well,
ask her out for a drink.
It's not going to scare her off just to say, well, let's spend some time together. Is she going to say yes or no? And that's that.
Yeah. And as far as the guy goes, you need to break
you
up.
You need to begin finishing that, I think.
And he sounds like he's about done, too.
Even if he isn't, he should be. If he doesn't know he is, he should be.
He knows
okay,
some level.
Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah, well, when I drink heavily, I tend to puke blood.
Have you ever seen a doctor about that?
No.
Does the blood come after you vomited for a while, then suddenly blood?
Yeah, like a few ounces.
Yeah, so you vomit several times, and then the blood comes?
The first time I vomit.
First time the blood is there.
Yeah, it's like it comes out, and then the blood.
When was the last time this happened?
It happened when I took some pills once, too. Then that was the last time. So I took some Vicodin and some...
And then you vomited, and it was blood.
Blood.
Were there aspirin in those pills?
Oh, I took Tylenol coding with it, too.
That's not aspirin. Was there aspirin in any of those pills?
No aspirin, no.
Here, there are three possibilities from this, or maybe even four. One is that this is some sort of ulcer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Second, and more probably, that this is gastritis, which is an inflammation of the lining of the stomach caused by alcohol. Third would be this is something called a Mallory Weiss tear, which when you vomit, you actually tear the esophagus where it connects with the stomach, and that usually causes blood that comes later in the vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be esophagitis, an erosion of the esophagus. You need to go get yourself some Pepcid, or Zantac, or Axid, one of those over-the-counter medications.
Mm-hmm.
Take two twice a day and see a doctor immediately. Because you may be anemic, you may be losing iron, there could be a lot, it could be something else.
Why should you take that stuff twice a day?
Because it will shut off the acid secretion in the meantime if there's an ulcer sitting there or something that could suddenly blow.
Wouldn't you feel it, the end of that ulcer?
Not necessarily.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
One time when I was in high school after a good night of chugging white wine,
mm-hmm.
I threw up so hard, my eyelids were bloodshot.
Your eyelids lie white.
Eyelids.
Nice.
And when your eyelids get bloodshot.
That wasn't purple, right?
I shouldn't have used the word bloodshot because you would assume that was the whites of my eyes. But they were bloodshot in the sense that you could see the veins in them. It didn't look like a black eye.
Were there purple dots?
And you could see the veins.
Oh, my God.
That's the eyelids.
Called petechiae.
Yeah, petechiae.
It's from straining so hard that the pressure...
Oh, I was vomiting so hard for so long that I, blew out my eyelids. My sister found me in the driveway. From the neck up? From retching. From retching, yeah.
Actually,
I just had my eyelids because my eyes were bulging the whole time. I crawled home from whatever party I was at. I threw up in the shrub on my front driveway, and then I passed out in the driveway. And I was passed out there for a few hours. I think my sister came home and found me. And I somehow got into my bed. I remember when I woke up the next day, though, I was in my bed. I had gravel still stuck in my cheek from sleeping on the driveway.
Right.
And then I just dry heaved the entire next day. And that I think what caused the blood vessels to burst in my eyelids. But that's some world class even there.
You
get a couple of black eyes at the end of it. Fun story to explain to people too when they're curious about what happened to my eyelids.
Pancreatitis. Let's make people vomit like that too. Yeah.
Not me though.
Oh yeah, of course. Not.
No, I drank.
Oh, yeah.
Drank a half bottle of white wine that a guy named Chet stole from the 7-Eleven he was working at.
But that's how you get pancreatitis.
Retching like that?
Too much alcohol, yeah.
Yeah. To be fair to me, I've only vomited from alcohol about 25 times.
That you can remember.
Yes. Yes, there was no lesson learned that day.
That's good.
None at all. Ian?
Yeah.
You're 27.
Yeah, first of all, Dr. Drew, I know that you're a busy man, but I thought I had to ask you if you have ever had the opportunity to read the book Natural History of Rape, and if you have, What are your thoughts on it?
I have not yet. I've read reviews of
it. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it a pop-up book? I might be interested.
and I actually was going to read it. And I think I ordered it at one point. And for some reason, I forgot about it when it never arrived. But I will get back to it.
Well, as we were talking about on the show a few weeks ago, I had seen Rape the Musical off Broadway, but I've never actually read the book.
This is a book by a couple of anthropologists, basically, who sort of argue, they make an unpopular argument that rape is sort of out of necessity kind of thing.
Not so much that it's out of necessity, but that it's a biological.
It's a biological process, yeah.
How dare you, Drew?
Because the reason I say that is, if I remember right, these guys are not biological anthropologists per se, and they make a biological.
In fact, they're not anthropologists.
Yeah, that's what I remember. One of the criticisms was these guys weren't trained to make the kind of argument they were making. So,
insofar as they are sociobiologists, they are entirely qualified.
To make a biological anthropological.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to read it, and I will.
I plan to.
Hey, it may be a good defense for you, Drew, if you ever get popped.
It's one of the downsides of good arguments.
There's a fair amount of rape going on in the animal kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right.
I'm guessing men did a fair amount of raping way back when, millions of years ago kind of thing. So, but it's one of those other things, too, that there was a lot of other things that we did back then that are against the law and we're not allowed to do now.
We control what we do.
Doesn't mean we can do them, yeah.
Right.
All right, yeah, we don't crap on rocks. Although I did take a leak in the sink of the women's room of the man show today.
The man show? You get last night here.
Oh, well, I had to pee in the sink here last night.
Yeah, he peed in the sink here, guys, just so you know.
I was barefoot.
He wouldn't go in that crappy bathroom. Yeah.
I couldn't walk in there barefoot. I'd get ringworm or something. Right? Stepping some elephant tongue.
Question I have for you. Yeah.
My girlfriend said to me a while back that she's got an inverted uterus.
Right. Into the book. It means the uterus is sort of flipped over in a common but not sort of anatomically routine position. Let me show Adam here so you understand. I'm getting an Adam.
I'm picturing a uterus that's upside down.
Basically, see how it usually falls forward here?
Oh, I can't see your fingers in the way. Yeah, the uterus, is that the uterus up there?
Yeah, this falls forward. The uterus. And hers is flipped back.
I see.
And so it just lies in the
way. Where's the hole part?
This is the hole.
Where?
Your penis goes here.
My penis goes where?
Right there.
There? And how far up? What can I feel if I got my fingers up there?
Can I feel
that uterus?
Nothing.
No?
Well.
Can you get to the uterus?
Yeah, if you really push, I get the cervix. Well,
thank you. All right. So
is this a condition that is innocuous, more or less?
Yeah, it can cause little pain during periods and things like that. But it can actually go bad.
During intercourse, too. But
is she getting pain then?
I beg pardon?
Does she get pain during intercourse?
Oh, I don't, but she does, yes.
Okay.
And
it can cause
childbirth.
It shouldn't have any significant impact on that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, Ian.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
I got to get that rape book.
That's a lucky charms guy calling us. Yeah, you got to pick that rape book up, Drew.
I do. Hey, guys, which sink did you pee in, Adam? The men's room.
Men's room.
Okay, in the room now where we wash your coffee cups?
No.
Not the metal sink.
How dare you?
Ceramic.
The temerity. Accusing me of peeing in that.
How can you get out of that bathroom and pee in a sink? That's it.
I sprained my foot yesterday, and I was barefoot, and I hobbled my way into the bathroom after an hour and a half and 8 cups of coffee. I had to go like a racehorse. And I realized I was barefoot, and I know what goes on in that bathroom. That floor around the toilet ain't pretty at all. So I figured I'd take a quick whiz in the sink. I rinse it off real nice. No problems.
I'm acceptable.
That's all good. Hey, you're in sterile, right, Drew?
Yeah. Most people.
Good times. John?
Hello?
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, first off, I want to say I love both of you guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Adam, Drew, you guys are both awesome.
Thank you. What's up?
You're gay.
Excuse me?
Nothing. You've got a library of stuff.
I know. Go ahead, John.
I got a problem with penis size.
Mm-hmm. At 15, it's hard for anyone to... First of all, everyone at 15 has a problem, but it's actually difficult to have a real problem because you've got 6 more years of growth ahead of you.
All right, well, where are you hanging? Maybe it's too big.
When erect, I am 1 millimeter over 5.5.
5.5 millimeters?
I don't know how to say that.
1 millimeter over 5.5 inches?
Yeah, there you go.
You're not a millimeter over, you're 16th over.
Right.
You're one tick on your ruler there.
Yeah, on a standard ruler, which is standard. They don't put military and metric and standard on the same size. One tick either represents a 32nd or a 16th.
That would be a 16th in most cases.
Right.
So it's 5 and 1/16?
Yes, so you're 5 and 9/16.
That's almost normal for a grown male, so you're right on track.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I mean, like I thought
I'm here. He sounds elated.
You sure?
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's got to send out that press release.
It's interesting that for a 15-year-old, it's sort of normal for a male to be preoccupied with his adequacy and his sort of stature and his worth and things. It's 15-year-old material. But then we have 40-year-olds calling about the same stuff, but it's a problem.
Well, as I was saying the other night, I think all men measure their penis once at about the same age.
15.
I think it's somewhere between 15 and 17.
Our recommendation is wait till 17.
And then measure the penis.
Yeah, why take any...
Right.
Why make yourself feel bad?
I don't know, and I was kidding about it, but the water displacement test is a much more accurate way to do it because you get volume.
We've got to be sure to put up, or at least report, the average volume of the penis, too. We never reported that.
That is a much better way to do it, if you really think about it.
In terms of what it's to be used for.
Yeah. I mean, not only length, but it's length meets girth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you weigh people, you don't just sort of measure them to see how big they are around or how long they are. You sort of weigh them.
Mm-hmm.
And this, in a way, it's weighing the penis via water displacement. How would you do that? Would you be lowered down? Your erect penis be lowered down into a graduated cylinder?
Maybe we could develop some sort of a those plastic pillows that displace and roll or something. I mean, some invention we can come up with without all the mess of liquid.
I'm going to put the boys on that down at the lab. All right, we will take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Sasha. Sasha is 16, met a 37-year-old man online who is stalking him. And let's know what the deal is. We'll tell him after this. It is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Fax number 310-854. Oh, forget about that fax number. We never get any faxes.
Sorry, we never see any faxes. Why don't you just address them to Ann?
Ann brings in one every once in a while that says, I talk too much.
Yeah, I got a
Brillo head and one eye.
Yeah. So if you want a fax to get to us, include that in the fax that'll come right
in. If you start it with that, I'll certainly find it. If it's anything complimentary, not a snowball's chance in hell. All right. Duran Duran's going to be in here on Sunday night. Matthew Lillard will be in here from all the screen movies on Monday. I have some sort of census thing that somebody sent me. Do you know what that is, Drew?
I mean, the government sent you to fill out?
No, that's not mine. Somebody was in a...
Look at that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I told the census guy to beat it, like an old man.
And this is him?
I yelled out my window.
And he left you this letter?
Maybe it is. No, I don't think so.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Did you have the census guy come by your place, Drew?
Nothing. Maybe my wife dealt with him or something.
Oh, what is it with these guys? I had a guy come by my house every day for 2 weeks, leave a note on my... I'm never ever home, and he said, I was leaving a note on my door. I'm your census guy. The one day I am home, I'm taking a nap, and he's hitting the buzzer, and I open my upstairs window, and
Pops Corolla is yelling out.
Pops Corolla is like in his underpants. He's woken from his nap. It had been first nap in 2 weeks, and I opened the upstairs window, and I yelled down, who is it? And he yells, it's the census guy. And I yelled, beat it! Beat it.
Fella.
Like fella beat it. Like one of the Bowery Boys or something.
That's right.
So I yelled, beat it, and the guy just took off. And then I woke up an hour later, and I felt guilty. And I realized the poor son of a bitch just trying to do his job, so I called him up and gave him whatever information he needed. He's like... have you been living in the same residence since April? Yes. Have you been white since April? Yes. Have you been 35 since April? Yes. Thank you.
That was it?
That was it.
All right.
And there. Now the schools can get all kinds of money. And listen, I don't buy into all that crap, by the way. They can figure out who's what and where they're living. Why do they have to send somebody out?
Well, because people lie on the form.
Talk to the DMV if you want to find out anything about anybody. And listen, let me explain. A census. Los Angeles, too many people. 50% Mexican, lots of schools, need money. There you go. Send it on over. What do I care? Like, I'm using the schools, the libraries, the fire department, or anything. I don't use anything. Hey, listen, as far as I'm concerned, the federal government wants to know how much you give Los Angeles. Give them nothing.
Ooh.
Let everyone rot with me. Who cares if they have any money? Please. Make sure everyone's got going to school, everyone's going to libraries, we have enough police, enough firemen. We don't have enough anyway. I want my own police, man. I want my own firemen. Pay enough in taxes, I should get my own. That's all. I want this government to be run like a Vegas casino.
How's that work? The high rollers get special treatment?
You go in there and drop, $15,000 at the roulette table, and they give you a suite. You go in there and throw a couple of nickels in a slot machine, what do you get? A watered-down Greyhound and a bus ticket out of town. That's the way Vegas runs. That's the way this country ought to run.
Those of you parents out there who are hippies, this is what you get for your kids when they grow up.
That's right.
If you're a hippie when you raise them, this is what they become later.
Listen, I pay $600,000 in taxes. I want my own goddamn fireman. That's it. I want waiting outside the house with a hose in case there's trouble. I want a policeman, and I want to be able to tell the garbage man when he comes. I'll pick the day. Come on Wednesday about 2. I'm usually at work. No problem. Not tomorrow morning at 5:45. All right, don't worry. He'll be there.
Sasha.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I've got a little problem.
Yeah?
I just moved down here. Actually, yeah, down here from California. And I'd lived there for 11 years, and I came down here to live with my dad.
I'm trying to figure out what's beneath California.
Nice, moved to Mexico.
Mexico?
I moved to Miami, Florida.
Oh, that is beneath, huh?
Okay. Yeah. And I have really no friends down here and no one to really talk to, so I got on the internet and started talking to people there, and I got an instant message from somebody who had read my profile.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your profile say?
Just like my interests and everything and my age and like where I live and, you know, just my situation overall.
Yeah. Mine says a 36-year-old male likes to nap, jack off, and complain.
Not to sound sort of pandering, but at DrDrew.com, we really do have great chat rooms where people will come. We really do. Where people come and support you. I mean, you can actually deal with this problem with the support from that community.
Okay.
So
you met some guy, and what happened?
Well, he told me that he was about 17, and I'm openly gay, and he told me that he was gay and everything. And so we started talking, and we talked for a couple of days over the internet, and he asked me for my number so that we could talk over the phone, and I gave him my number, and he called me, and we talked for a while. And after that, he asked me to send me his picture, or my picture, and he was going to send me his picture. And when I got his picture, I noticed that he didn't look like 17 at all or anywhere near it. And I asked him about it, and he's like, well, I have to tell you that I'm really 37 and all this stuff, and I was pretty shocked. So I told him, no offense, but I really don't want to associate with somebody your age because I think that's kind of scary. There's a lot of people in the world.
Good for you.
Even though there's, like, you know, a lot of nice people also.
Right.
Yeah. And that, once you pass 35, nobody's nice.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. just think of Adam when you think of
that's
35.
Right. That's when I turned.
Very
mean.
Mean.
And surly.
Beat it!
Census guy.
So, Sasha, what's happening now?
Well, he continues to call me, and just Saturday he told me, he called me up and he said, I reserved a hotel room in Miami Beach. He's in West Palm. And he said that he reserved a hotel room in Miami Beach and that he was coming down. He was going to see me and meet me and all this stuff like that. And I told him that I wasn't going to be able to. I was busy. And I told him that I already told him that I really didn't want to have anything to do with
it. Listen, Sasha, you got some of your dad found out now, and he's reeling, and you can't talk.
And they're talking to the police.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other problem. He's involved with law enforcement.
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He's a felon.
He's the dispatcher.
But listen,
I don't know.
Who knows what this guy actually does and what he tells you and all that kind of stuff. I know you're lonely, Sasha. And here's the problem. There's a part of you that likes the attention.
Yeah.
And it's keeping this going, and you have to cut that off.
Yeah, the parents are fine. You're going to tell your parents. They have found out, and they're being in touch with the police. And to keep a record of all this. Keep print it out, do whatever you do to keep a record of this.
Okay.
And just, Sasha, here's the deal.
And from go over to Drew.com, we have a lot of 17-year-olds who will support you.
That's right. A lot of gay 17-year-olds.
We do.
Here's the deal, everybody. I haven't given this analogy in quite some time, but it's a solid one. Whoever you are, gay, straight, whatever your situation is, if you have somebody calling you and they're bugging you, here's what you have to give them. Zero. Zero. Because there's a lot of people, especially effed up people, especially 37-year-old guys that are trying to bang 17-year-old kids, who can go a pretty good, if they were a car, they could make it from California to Utah in a gallon of gas. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to keep these guys going. Your average person realizes, hey, this person's not interested in me. I'm not going to bang my head against the wall. It's embarrassing. I'm moving on. But guys who stalk people, these types of guys.
They're like real aggressive salesmen.
They've
been around that, like people selling timeshares.
Yeah.
Oh, my
drive me insane. And so here's the deal. The analogy is this. They're like a stray cat that shows up in your yard. You feed it a couple of nights. It'll come back every night. Mm-hmm. Every night. That'll be your cat, by the way. Now, you cannot want the cat to go away and say, I'm only going to give it half a bowl of milk.
I feel sorry for the cat. I'm going to put something out for it.
Yeah, I won't give it a full bowl of milk, but I'll give it a couple of tablespoons of milk. It'll still come back. It'll live off of that. That's the deal. The only way to get the cat to go is give it nothing. And then it's still coming back for a few nights, mm-hmm. just out of memory. But a few nights of nothing, it'll go away. And that's what you have to give, nothing. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a real bad problem with keeping stamina up, I guess, during sex. I always either ejaculate too soon or just go soft.
Hmm.
And I was just curious, I mean...
So you have two different problems.
You would go soft even if you didn't ejaculate?
Yeah, I mean, just it would just be over for me.
Oh, boy.
You got to kill yourself.
Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not on no medication.
Do you have any medical problems?
Not that I know of.
Any sort of issues we should be aware of that might be contributing to your feeling ambivalent about being sexual?
I have no idea.
Nothing specific. Nothing easy to come to mind.
So, either the champagne... cork pops, or the bottle just sort of melts.
How long before the melting occurs?
Maybe a minute.
And how long before the pop?
I don't know. Maybe 30, 40 seconds. I know that whenever I drink alcohol, I can go longer.
Yeah. Oh, you're a marathon man. You go a minute, 10 seconds.
So it's never longer than a minute.
No.
So if you are not ejaculating immediately, you're losing your erection.
Right.
Wow.
Wait, you're pretty much either on the way up or on the way down. You don't have any actual erection time. There's getting the erection and losing the erection. And then there's that sort of moment where they cross. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's it. It's sort of like those NASA airplanes that head up real steep and then arc down and you float around for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Simulate a little space.
Right.
But really, if you think about it, they're either on their way up or on the way down, although you get to float around for 30 seconds. Right. That's about it.
Oh, boy.
Right.
That's a tough one. Because you can't have him... Well, you could, I guess, have him try to ejaculate beforehand, see if an erection sustains.
Yeah, but then he's going to lose the erection.
I might not even get an erection that way.
Mike? So,
yeah.
Yeah. You have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
And bless her.
You're close with her?
We're really close.
You do a lot of oral sex on her?
Yeah, I do. I have to.
I bet you play her like a Liberace played the piano.
Do you have any feelings about your sexual encounter or your relationship?
No bad feelings. Only good feelings towards her, anyway.
Yeah.
I was wondering if pot had anything to do with it.
Yeah, if you're doing it regularly, it could. How much pot are you smoking?
Maybe an ounce of every 2 months, half quarter a day.
Yeah. There we go.
And you're smoking an eighth a day?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's pretty good. That's a decent amount of weight.
He tried to hide that.
Maybe an ounce every couple months.
Yeah.
That's just about a pound a day.
Yeah, that could definitely have something to do with this.
No, a lot. Honestly, though, a lot.
How's your mood doing?
my mood.
Yeah, they're starting to kind of crap out on you?
No, I'm in a good mood most of the time. I mean,
all right, but listen, Mike, with the penis that you got, I would quit breathing in order to see if that helped my problem.
How many years?
You know what I'm saying?
How many years have you been smoking pot regularly?
Since I've been probably 18. I've just started recently, maybe 3 years.
3 years is a lot of time to be. Could be saturating your system with a drug.
Smoking an eighth a day is that's pretty. Eighth a day is four or five doobies, isn't it?
Oh, gnarly!
Nah, I'd rather smoke out of a pipe. I don't smoke joints.
Yeah, but how many joints could I roll up out of an eighth?
Probably four or five good sized joints.
Yeah,
that's a lot of pot.
Yeah, see, I know my drugs.
Yeah, no doubt that could be a lot of this. No doubt.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, listen, I don't want to sound too old-fashioned, but four or five joints a day, every day for 3 years, makes for a fair amount of weed.
It's going to do something to your central nervous system. Something. Absolutely.
Yes. He is detached from his penis. Mm-hmm. He has no control over his penis. Mm-hmm. His penis is probably out robbing a bank right now.
Well, it's interesting. The frontal lobe, and he's a little old for this, but in younger males, the right frontal lobe has been shown to shrink after a year of pot, and heavy pot like this. And, boy...
Mike, you got to get off the weed.
All right.
You got to get off anyway. You're smoking a lot of weed.
All right.
And you got a problem.
Is it a problem?
Well, it is. I'll tell you why it's a problem. Because if you were telling me you're taking a few tokes off a joint every day at night after you got home from work to unwind or something.
And nothing was going wrong in your life. Which
right. That's one thing. But smoking up four or five joints a day.
And starting to have physical problems.
Each and every day is that's a fair amount of weed.
And there are many, many more physical problems to come, Mike. Chronic bronchitis, depression, anxiety attacks. They'll come.
Yeah. Oh, he has the world's worst penis. What a hand he got dealt with that penis.
That's your penis. That's a well described scenario.
I don't know if that's weed. Oh, here's a better question, though. Mike?
Yeah.
How long has it been this way, that penis of yours?
Probably the last 2 years. My girlfriend and I have been together for about 2 years, and it's been going on about the length of that.
Before then, it functioned okay?
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't think you're addicted to pot, just think about this. Insert any other word there other than marijuana, and you're doing that thing, and it's affecting your penis function profoundly for 2 years. And you haven't even considered stopping yet. Is that not addiction?
Yeah,
5 minutes of that, you would have been airlifted somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Medevac. Right to the Mayo Clinic. In Bethesda, Maryland.
Penis in hand.
Where's that, Minnesota?
Yeah.
Or the Mayo Clinic? Where's in Bethesda, Maryland? That'd be Naval Hospital.
Walter Reed.
Whichever one's closer.
That's what I would have gone.
Thank you for a median valuation. That's a horrible penis, I might guess. All right, speaking of horrible penises, Dr. Drew's over here. He's a board-certified physician. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Keith. Wife no longer sexually aroused by him.
Arouses him.
Oh, wants to know how to spice it up. Oh, yeah. She can squeeze that big fat ass into some lingerie. That's going to do it, right, Drew?
Of course.
After this. Bloodline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew over there. Duran Duran will be in here on Sunday. Ooh, I'm getting a little gassy tonight, Drew. Maybe
we got a surprise.
Keith?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You're 25. What's up?
Well, it's like this. I come home from work. My wife wants to have sex with me, and it's like, I want to please her, so I oblige to it.
But you're not into it.
Yeah, I go at it, and it takes me forever to reach orgasm, and it's just like, 2-3 hours, and we have to stop because it starts to hurt her.
How long? 3 hours?
Jesus, how long have you been married?
We've been married, it'll be 3 years and next month.
Well, if I knew I was in for 2-3 hours, I wouldn't get started.
And what do you think's going on?
Well, that's what I'm calling. I don't know.
No idea?
No.
Well, you sound depressed, for one thing. You're depressed about this?
Yes, very.
You weren't depressed to begin with?
No.
Yeah.
And is your wife, are you attracted to your wife anymore?
Oh, yes, very. She's, you know, she's very attractive, you know. She's and not overweight.
Is there some problem with the relationship?
What do you mean you're very attracted to her? How can you be very attracted to her and look at sex as such a chore?
Well, I don't know. She's, you know, she's my wife. You know, I love her to death. You know, I just when we, you know, it happens every often. It doesn't happen all the time, you know.
Are you on any medication?
I'm an asthmatic. I take asthma.
What are you taking?
Preventil.
You're not taking Singulair or any of that stuff?
No.
And the Preventil, are you using the night when this happens?
I use it when needed, like if I'm, you know,
But do you notice that if you use it, this problem is more likely to occur?
No, I don't think so.
Keep an eye out for that, because that could be part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And you can have an orgasm for 2 or 3 hours.
At least, yeah.
How often does this happen?
Once, twice a week.
Does your wife have an orgasm?
No.
Never?
She's had them, but not when we're going at it that long.
Yeah. What about if you give her a little oral sex?
She has orgasm every time.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, would you have an orgasm if she gave you oral sex?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What if Drew did it?
Excuse me?
Yeah. Okay. All right, here's the point. Why don't you have yourself a little sex, you know, half hour? 35 minutes, then finish her off with some oral sex.
Would you think it'd be relationship-wise as, like, you know, she's kind of over, I don't know how to put it, she's very very mean to me a lot of times.
Ooh.
Do you think that can count as part of our sexual...
Yeah, absolutely. If you're angry in some level again with her, or if there's some meaning to this for you... Absolutely. How often are you guys actually having sex?
Once, twice a week.
Why is she meaning it?
You said this happens occasionally.
It happens occasionally, and we don't have sex that often, hardly anymore because of it.
Yeah. Why is she being angry? Why is she being mean to you?
She's like that. I don't know. She's like, she yells at me all the time. You know, screams and cussing.
Yeah,
me.
Well, I mean, listen, if you were in me for 3 hours, I'd be yelling, too. All right, here's the deal. Get a little counseling. Try to work out the part about her being mean to you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's not respectful. That's no mutuality in that. But
it usually doesn't hurt a guy from the sex, though. And guys are like, hey, all right, bitch.
Just as long as you're
not laughing so hard now, are you? Oh, it hurts, does it? Yeah, good. Want a little more? Hey, watch now! Watch now!
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but well, probably about that is, oh, it happens occasionally. How often does it happen? Once or twice a week. Well, how often do I have sex?
All right, he was straight. You guys got to get a little counseling. Yeah, no excuse for being mean. Amanda?
Yes.
You're 23.
Yeah.
What's going on?
My son is 4, and we hang around with the people that, you know, my fiancé has grown up with and that. We only have a little boy that's 5, and they play good together, but the 5-year-old always wants to play with my son's penis. I've caught him twice, and we talked to him, and I told my son that's bad. You know, don't let nobody touch it but you. Well, just the other day, they were outside playing, and the little 5-year-old took my son behind the shed and started, you know, flicking his penis and just won't leave it alone. And I don't know how to...
Why the hell do you let this child continue to play with your child?
What?
Amanda, why the hell do you allow this child to continue to play with your child?
Well, I don't anymore, but I don't know if it's going to make my son have problems when he's older or what?
It could affect him, but probably not.
Yeah, he's all right.
Probably no big deal.
Don't let him hang out with
you. Do not let him around that family or that child without constant supervision.
Well, how do I... Because these are, you know, really good friends.
That is your job as the parent. Nothing else matters.
Well, and listen, it's your husband's job because these are his friends.
Yeah.
You're the wife. You know what I mean? You tell your husband or your fiancé, and if someone has to drop the bomb, he's got to drop the bomb on them.
Well, I've, like, already freaked out on and got the kid so totally scared of me that I don't even think that he ever wants to see me again.
All right, well, good. It solved itself. But if this is a problem, talk to your fiancé about it.
Right.
How's he doing?
Well, at first they were just like, well, boys will be boys. It's a little...
That is,
you know,
total unadulterated BS.
Well, maybe true at first, but he keeps going, this guy.
Yes, right. You know, first time I was like, okay, you know, I let it slide. And then, you know, the second time I was like, whoa, 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 this is a problem here.
Listen,
you know,
people never want to acknowledge what their kids are up to. They don't want to see any potential problem.
Lord knows Drew doesn't want to know what their kids are up to.
No, I don't. But I know that feeling. But I forced myself to look.
Really?
To see.
Oh, that's why I don't want kids. I don't know. I'm going to just carry a squirt bottle around with vinegar in it. My kid does anything. I just squirt them right now.
Yeah, and a rolled up newspaper.
Yeah, I might not be able to get to him. A newspaper doesn't have the kind of range I like in a weapon.
It makes a big loud noise, though. So
yeah, but I don't want to get up off the lawn chair
across
the yard. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Drew, use your head. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be back after this. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there, Duran Duran, Sunday night. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And let's get back to what makes the show so popular beside me. That is the caller.
I beg you. How dare you?
Brian has called in. Brian
Thank
is 14.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
He's not a doctor, Adam. I don't see a doctor in front of your name, Mr. Big Mouth.
Hello.
David Allen Greer, everybody.
Why does it make me cringe when I hear him say that?
What's up there, Brian?
My question is, I'm like fully developed in like the genital region, I should say.
Yeah.
But like I have no pit hair or anything. So I was wondering, like,
do you have hair on your arm?
No.
Your leg?
Like on my arm, yeah.
Your legs?
Yeah.
So the hair is developing everywhere normally except in your armpits.
Well, yeah, and like, yeah,
your
exactly.
Face?
Yeah.
Chest?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you're 14.
Yeah, it may just have yet to come in. The fact that you're... It's hard. You have to see these things to know whether he's describing this actually accurately. It could be part of a generalized underdevelopment.
Listen, you don't need that pit hair for anything. You're not missing nothing.
Pheromones, Adam.
That pit hair just holds stink in.
Don't you read about pheromones?
Yeah, that's right. Drives the ladies crazy. Yeah.
We'll spray some in there.
Please. The pit hair is nothing. It holds the deodorant, and it helps so the deodorant doesn't roll down your arm.
Well, women manage without, when they shave,
they get along just fine without that pit hair. That's why it's not a great thing. It just kind of keeps you stinking. It hangs out when you wear a tank top. I don't know why God did that. I really don't. Anna?
Yes.
You're 19.
Yes.
What's up?
My question is it safe to take birth control pills that are not prescribed?
The easy answer to that is no, but explain to me the situation.
Because my boyfriend's cousin works with a gynecologist, and she can get a hold of birth control pills, and I was wondering if I can do that instead of going through, like, the pap smear.
Why don't you want to have a pap smear? If you're sexually active, you got to have that. Do you understand why people get that?
Yeah. Like,
why?
Because to check if they have, like, cancer. Or,
right, and that kills young women. It's a common cancer in young women. And it's totally curable if you pick it up early enough.
Followed only by secondhand smoke in terms of its leading killer.
Here's what you can do, though, is you can ask your doctor, you know, get a pap smear. You haven't heard anybody, nurse practitioner or clinic, do the proper screening and get a recommendation for the pill and then have your friend get the samples. Yeah, that's legitimate to do that. We hand out samples all the time. It doesn't matter if they came out of somebody's closet or somebody else's closet, as long as somebody's supervising and advising you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, Anna. Get that pap. Get your pap smeared, as it were. All right? Yeah. What's up with all those samples? There's a lot of good drug samples out there.
You see my closet, haven't you?
Do they give out good stuff?
They give out new stuff. They give out stuff they're trying to get you to use, just to get going with.
Yeah,
once you're in, then they stop sampling.
Yeah. No Valium, Quaaludes, things like that, any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, your favorite, Vicodin. See, Vicodin got a complex with ibuprofen, they have lycoprofen.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Explain
that's
this.
That's like when the peanut butter hit the chocolate in the Reese's commercial. Why those are my two new drugs.
Why is that different than taking ibuprofen and Vicodin?
It's not. That's what I took last night.
Right.
Thank you, Drew.
But the point is, why are people so focused on one pill? Why does it make a difference to people?
I have no idea.
You seem to respond to it.
We're living in a convenient society. I don't care about that. I do like a Valium. Can you give me one of those? I took a Valium once.
I wonder when this is going to happen in our relationship. Every night you pressure me to bring you illicit drugs. Control drugs.
Hey, you want to keep this show going? You keep me in the right mood. Understand? I can't come in here.
I actually enjoyed you last night like I've not enjoyed
all
you
right.
in 5 years. You think
you enjoyed me on a Vicodin. If you liked me on Vicodin, you're going to love me on Valium.
I'm thinking, what's morphine heroin going to do for you?
Oh, nice. Don't get my hopes up. Jack?
Yes.
You're 16. What's up?
Yes. My girlfriend, she'll be, walking down the mall or something like that, and a guy will, come up to her and try to hook up with her or whatever like that, and, be like, you know, you're good looking. Can I get your number or something like that? And she'll give him her number. Do I have, a right to be mad about that?
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not. She should be dating other people.
Does she believe your boyfriend or girlfriend? Does she know that?
Oh, yeah. We've been going out for, 8 months.
That is terribly thoughtless and disrespectful of your feelings, I think. And then to be defensive when you're upset, that's not a relationship. It's gone. There's nothing there, though.
Because also, I said something to her about that before, and, she just, I don't know, all her friends that are girls were what, why are you getting so mad about that or whatever? And then, all my friends that are guys are yeah, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. What is it, she want to play Parcheesi with these guys? Or what is it that she's giving the number out for?
Yeah, but it's not like she, goes and has sex with them on Instagram.
No. What does she do? She goes out and dates?
No.
What does she do?
She just talks to them on the phone and stuff.
Talks to them on the phone.
She doesn't ever do anything.
Well, listen, Jack, what would she say if she was talking to us that she does? Would she say that?
She would say that they're just her friends.
Well, why don't you start collecting phone numbers in front of her?
How dare you, Drew. It's horrible advice.
Well, you know what I mean? That's
Jack, you break up with her if she does this. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right, she doesn't get any passion.
Yes, you got to lay the law down.
All
right. Listen, guys, start used to acting right. You know, here's the problem, quite frankly. You get a little bit older, and you kind of figure a few things out, but you have so many horrible habits, relationship-wise, that it ends up bleeding in your adult life. You get started at 15. You're confused. You take a stand where you shouldn't take a stand. You don't take a stand where you need to take a stand. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and also people get used to it sort of rationalizing, I was explained to her that this upsets me, and to people that age, to a 6-year-old, you don't spend any time explaining.
Yeah.
Your action.
Yeah.
And swift and complete.
That's right. Like the guillotine. Clayton.
Sword of Damocles.
Yeah. That's right. You're 17. What's up?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say you two guys are great, and it's an honor to be able to talk to such fine role models of today's youth.
Thank you.
That is a role
much.
Model.
That's right. You're an a-hole model, but I'm a role model. Thanks very much. What's up?
All right, I got a couple questions. First of all, I was wondering what are, if any, the long-term effects of using ketamine?
I don't think people know yet. I have a couple of chronic ketamine-using patients, and they seem to me to have some mild chronic something. I can't quite put my finger on it because they all have a little personality shift and they have a little mood problem, but I don't know quite what it is. It's not been well documented to my reading of the literature yet.
Okay.
It's not a big deal. And ketamine causes addiction, usually with other things. It's certainly not a safe medicine. It's a dissociative anesthetic. It's something you believe we use in very controlled circumstances. And like any chemical, eventually it's going to have some effect, but it's not that good. There's no free lunch in nature. There will always be side effects of every chemical taken regularly.
Okay. All right. And my other question was for about 2 or 3 months, I was doing a whole lot of really heavy drugs.
Yeah.
And
That's the thing about ketamine. When people do ketamine, they're always doing other stuff. That's making it hard to sort out what's the ketamine and what's other things. So.
Yeah, I was mostly doing it with other things or whatnot. But I heard somewhere that it can drugs can damage your sperm
yeah.
after doing it a whole lot.
Yeah, but probably not a big deal. Not nearly as big a deal as what it's doing to your brain.
Oh, we should all be so lucky as a society that Clayton doesn't have any youngins. It's fine.
That's fine.
Your sperm's fine.
Oh.
I took my sperm out once, hit it with a shoe on the sidewalk, did nothing. It was fine.
Rub your leg around.
Yeah. Right back on my leg, jumped in my penis. Yeah.
Ran for the hamper?
That's right. Seeking asylum.
Cover?
In the hamper. Yeah. Yeah, my hamper's like a monastery or a church. You can
sanctuary.
Sanctuary, that's right. Sperm sanctuary.
This is Big Marie. This is Little Marie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The bells at Notre Dame.
Oh, well, sure. Sure. I know it well. I call it Notre Dame, by the way, not that Notre Dame. You know? Shanti?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
Are you angry or depressed? Or what's up with you?
Well, it started, well, before I got pregnant.
What's it?
I felt really good about myself, you know? But it seemed like after I had my daughter, it's like I feel really bad about myself. Like I look in the mirror and sometimes I like cry because I feel my body is like ruined now.
Has it actually changed, or is that just a perceptual problem?
No, it's like it has a little, you know. It's like before I got pregnant, I really did look nice, but now I've got like stretch marks and stuff, you know.
Is it possible you're just depressed and sort of?
Yeah, I don't like what I see anymore.
Shanti, postpartum depression is depressions that occur up to a year after delivery, and they can be quite severe. So things that would not have been stressful or would not have been felt so bad in the setting of a severe depression can feel overwhelming and awful. And guilt and worthlessness and those sorts of feelings are typical.
Well, no, it's not like that, really. She'll be two in July, so I don't think it could be the postpartum still.
Okay, okay.
It kind of, I guess it's because of my fiance. I don't know. It's her father that I'm still with.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, you're 17.
Mm-hmm.
You have a two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's some math there. Were you pregnant at 14?
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
It was an accident, really, but
right.
We stuck through it. I've kind of lived the hard life.
Well, you could bowl me over with a feather. Yeah. Who would have guessed? Pregnant at 14, living the hard life?
Not to me.
Yeah. How old was your mom when she was pregnant?
When my mother got pregnant with me?
Mm-hmm. No, not with you.
First time.
With your brother's 35.
My brother.
The first time she got pregnant, how old was she?
I think she was 16.
Yeah.
Oh, she was
also shocked.
Old maid.
And she delivered at 16.
Oh, I see.
Pregnant at 15.
I see.
Yeah.
Ah.
So.
Yeah.
Magic. Magic.
Do you have an older brother?
Yeah. He's 21.
Yeah, I'm surprised. What's he do?
I'm not sure, really. I know he's got two kids and has a family of his own.
That's great. 21 is two kids. And so how old is your fiance?
About 22.
About 22?
Yeah.
Maybe 23?
Maybe.
All right. 23, 14.
20.
So he had nice, he was 20 when he got pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, baby. 14-year-old.
What's up? What are you doing? What's the plan? You know what I'm saying? What's his deal? I don't trust him.
Well, I do. We've been together for 2 years.
He is hung in. Yeah, I'll give him that. Yeah, hey, give him a few parts
right.
On that.
Yeah, but what do you mean hung in?
Well, not hung in. We've been there together. You know what I mean? We're together. We're getting married next month.
He's been there the whole time?
Yeah.
Supported? Part of the child's life?
Me and the child.
Financially supportive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does he work? Does he do something with tires?
No.
I'm getting tires.
Brakes.
No.
I'm thinking tires.
It's every once in a while, I'll see him, like, glance at another person. But
another tire?
No.
No. What do you do for a living?
He installs heating and air conditioning.
So. Oh, HVAC guy.
Yeah.
Tin knocker. That's rough work. Hey, he looks at the other lady sometimes, huh?
Not often. No.
Well, listen, he's a construction guy. That's fine. So, you're 17. How far to seed can you go at 17?
Very. Trust me.
Oh, really? Okay, so listen, Shanti, maybe you're a little depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't have any more kids.
I'm not at that point on it.
That's
I
good.
I like to find for one.
That's good.
Maybe get your depression
treated. And the good news is, you know what's funny? Like, how old is your mom now?
She's probably 37, but I don't speak with her any longer.
I see.
I like my life the way it is now.
Graduating and going to college. Good.
So.
Good for you.
Good.
Yeah. Now, your mom, now, and how, your 21-year-old brother, how old is his oldest kid?
Oh, he is a year and a half.
All right, so your kid's older than his kid.
Just by a few months, yeah.
Right, but your mom was a grandmother, 35.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And her brother's wife is 14.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hey, okay, you're fine. I don't know. Well, listen, start working out. How about that?
Yeah, start keep taking care of yourself, build some esteem, focus on, keep your priorities intact, and I would really look into getting that depression treated because it might help you do what you need to do.
And for Christ's sake, don't let your daughter get pregnant at 14 or 15. Please, just break that whole cycle. Oh, I'll tell you. Now, see, here's the deal, Drew, and here's my plan.
Wow.
When I'm in charge.
Yeah.
You got Shanti's mom. She was pregnant at, 15?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Lo and behold, and magically, she gives birth to Shanti, and God knows how many other people.
Right.
She's pregnant at 14.
Yeah, shocking.
Shocking. Now Shanti has a little daughter,
mm-hmm.
who's two.
We can break.
Now's when I get hold of her.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
The
answer.
Reprogramming.
Oh, like a little helmet you put on your head, like a Jorgen's Island?
Mm. I'll tell you what I do. I label her high risk,
mm-hmm.
and I put her on the birth control on her 12th birthday.
Okay.
And there she will stay until she graduates from college.
How about just put the morning after pill like in a glove compartment or a medicine cabinet?
No, I don't believe she'll take it. I cannot trust
I don't believe she'll take the pill every day.
Oh, I will administer that with a air rifle from hundreds of yards away using a scope and a Jeep that they use in Doc Tari. You know, those kind of Jeeps where...
The machine gun mounted in the front?
Yeah, well, that was the Rat Patrol Jeep.
Oh, right.
That's for the heavily populated urban area.
That car with the green Jeeps with the windows that come down.
Windows are pulled down, and there's sort of a place on the fender you can sort of sit while you're driving.
Yeah.
Like a sort of rumble seat up front where the front bumper
it's
is.
It's where you grab the rhinos as you're...
Yeah, you speed up, you get next to the rhino, you lay this a big bamboo stick across, and you jump on it.
How many of our listeners... do you think has ever heard of Doc Tari? Give me a number.
Two.
Her?
And can you do the theme song?
I don't know the Doc Tari theme song. I might be able to do the Rat Patrol theme song. No one knows the Doc Tari theme song. How dare you? That was a...
70s.
It was a movie, though. That's not it.
No, it was a television series.
Well, it was a movie. It was a John Wayne movie.
Yeah.
Anderson, who's right here? Even Anderson's confused.
No idea.
Aaron?
Hi.
Parents weren't born yet.
You're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I've been with my girlfriend for almost a year and a half, and we've got a pretty good, you know, sex life. There's just something. She always likes to be, like, held on. I mean, nothing ultra kinky, but sometimes I like to, like, try to experiment with other positions, and I'm wondering, how exactly would you suggest I go about that?
I'm totally confused by your question.
Well, which one is it? Does she like to be held down, or do you... What is it? What do you
She likes to be held down. She just likes me on top, and just...
And she will not allow any other changes?
Well, I mean, she hasn't totally... she pretty much won't allow it. I mean, it's...
Is she looking for you to sort of take control in there?
Yeah.
Why don't you take control and try other things?
Wait, what?
Am I being clear?
Yeah.
I'm getting
I stopped listening an hour ago. What do you mean she likes to be held down? How does that work?
You know, she'll be laying there and she'll want me to, you know, get on top of her, you know, hold her hands down and, you know, go at it.
Right.
And I'm wanting to, you know, try other positions and she's like, she won't really participate unless we're in that position.
So you can't flip her over into another position.
Right.
What'd she do at that point?
She just won't do anything. She'll just sort of get off and, you know, say, hey, let's talk.
Tell her to talk into the bone phone. It's ringing. talk.
Yeah.
In the middle of lovemaking?
Yeah.
The temerity. Listen, you need to take charge in there, Aaron. You're the man, and that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to be held down wants a guy to be in charge.
So if anything, I want to be dominated.
That's right, and that's what I do with Drew when we travel on the road.
Let's refine what that means.
All right, let me explain what it means to be a man in the sack. Thank you, Drew. I'm glad you brought that up. Women like it when guys are in charge. Now, that does not mean evil dictator.
Or aggressive or harmful.
No, it's more camp counselor in charge. It's a sprinkling of Nazi Gestapo type in there, you know?
Caricature.
Yeah. It's they respond to it. A little discipline. It's a little camp counselor and a little drill instructor from the Army.
Yeah, but guys, if the guys aren't believing it, if they don't feel assertive, and I mean assertive, not aggressive, then it goes backfires.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
No.
Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. One of the best movies ever, at least the first hour. Thank you. Interesting success. He doesn't know Doc Carr, but I know Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. Women want men to be in control. They constantly complain. Here's something that's analogous. Kids and dogs, same way. They raise hell when somebody tells them what to do, like kids, like, sit down, get in the back seat, quiet down, here's what we're doing, put a jacket on, eat your vegetables. Yeah. Dogs do the same thing, you know, I yank on the leash. Ultimately, they feel better. They're more secure. Not in every aspect of life. I'm telling you, in the bedroom, that is the man's domain. He must take control in that bedroom. That doesn't mean smacking anybody. That doesn't mean hurting anybody. That means there's two people here, and one of us is leading, and the other's following, and I'm doing the leading.
And
just as long as you don't walk into the quicksand or the swamp, you'll be fine.
I'm just thinking about with kids. You have to be really firm and lots of follow-through and no hesitation. If you let down for a second, pow, off they go.
They cannot sense weakness.
Yeah.
Right, or indecision.
Yeah,
no, you can't say to a woman, I don't know, you want to do, you know, first of all, you can't sound like a beaver talking to Wally.
Yeah.
You want to do like a wheelbarrow, or you want to go with the doggy? I don't want to hurt you. Whatever you want to do. No, just start doing it. Act like you know what you're doing. Take charge. They will appreciate that. I guarantee 99% of them will. What was I going to say?
Right,
I'm giving you oral sex starting now, right? There you go. That's what you do.
I didn't respond to that.
That's right. And then I take it even further. I say to the ladies, fake orgasm and now, and I cue them.
Action.
I actually, if I'm performing oral sex and I hold my hand up and I do that thing they do on TV with the hand, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then the finger.
And a little too much, you're doing this?
Yeah. I get too much on the fake orgasm, I get them to reel it in, and then sometimes, if they're not orgasming long enough, I get them to stretch. That's another TV thing. It's like you're pulling taffy between your two hands. Stretch it out. And then when they're right at the right spot, I hold my hand up and I make a fist. Good. That's good. Right there. Stop. See what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah. You've learned a lot by being fancy, Drew.
I certainly have. And backing into parking spaces, because they use the same, you know, when people guide you into parking spaces, same moves they use on TV when they're standing next to the camera. All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Donald. What's the procedure of penis implants? We'll tell Donald after this.
You know how weird that is when you start cramming a mic down between your legs?
It
just isn't going on radio, bro.
It's good times.
Oh, my God.
I let a good one fly away before he came in here, too. Cool. there you go. It's love line. And we're like, Donald?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 18. What's going on?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to say to everyone, long-time listener and proud watcher of The Man Show.
Ah, thank you very much.
That's a badass show, man. That's all I got to say.
I know it's going to be even better and assier coming on the 18th. Sunday.
Oh, there it is.
New season.
Well, I was thinking about getting a procedure of penis implants. I was wondering how you go about that.
Why?
Huh?
Are you paraplegic or something?
Huh? No, you see, I think my women won't find, but, you know, it's like, there's a lot of positions I can't do because of my size.
Yeah. What is your size, do you know?
About 4.
About 4. Yeah, it's hard to,
My Prince Albert makes up for that.
I guess Prince Albert.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Do you do the oral sex on the ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah?
4 inches erect?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now, what about that, Drew? It's a little bit small. You know what I mean?
Again, I don't know of any procedure that's particularly effective and sustains and is worth the risk.
Are they still doing those?
Not. I don't know. Honestly, I can't imagine they are, but maybe they are.
Here's what I know. It was all the rage 3-4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And then I stopped hearing about it. And I'm assuming that a lot of the guys who did the procedure got shut down, maybe their license taken away, what have you. And I just don't see it advertised anymore. But if you want to check it out, I'll tell you where to look. Donald?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
In West Covina.
All right. Get yourself one of those, like, L.A. Weekly type magazines.
Uh-huh.
Like those newspapers.
Uh-huh.
Look at the back of one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You could still grow for a couple more years, too, you know.
Yeah, 18, you're not doing that much growth. You get yourself, you get like the L.A. Weekly or whatever those free news papers that come out on Thursday and then leave them at all the head shops and CD stores and diners. They're all piled up by the cash register. Open those things. All the average, it's all, here's what it is. Here's what they sell. They sell strippers, penis enlargers, breast augmentation, and futons.
Nice.
Yeah. Like that. And actually, the thing I object to the most is the futons.
I know.
You know how I feel about those futons. Chris?
Yes?
You're 15. What's up?
I was wondering if how much you masturbate will have anything to do with how long you last in bed.
No,
I've heard them both. If you masturbate a lot, you'll have premature ejaculation or not.
It can help you take command of your sexuality, quite literally. In other words, if you are sort of on a maintenance program like the Corolla maintenance plan,
yeah,
you will last longer because they're sort of, the machinery sort of not backed up.
Yeah, my maintenance program's a little advanced for the young.
Yeah, I know.
You know what it is? Like what I mean is, like, you have a nice car, it's on a maintenance program every 3,000 miles, you get the oil change, you rotate the tires every 10,000 miles, whatever. Mine's more like a Indy pit crew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, We'll use one engine for a race and then rebuild it and put a new one in, rebuild the entire thing, new tires every couple of laps. I mean, it's a very sped up maintenance program.
But it's not
for the rookie
the
driver.
Frame of reference though.
Oh yes. Well, thank you.
One other question.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys are airing anywhere in Carlsbad, Mexico.
Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're on the mighty, I think we're on Cactus, 94.5.
94.5?
The Cactus.
Okay.
No, I don't think we're across.
I don't know. No, we're not? No, we're off? I have no idea.
Carlsbad? Carlsbad, California?
No, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Carlsbad, New Mexico.
We're Farmington, aren't we?
Farmington's in, I thought that was in Delaware or something. Where is that? No, I'm trying to figure out where we are. Hey,
We're in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I'm in Albuquerque.
All right. Well, why, you moving?
No, I'm just going there for a few weeks.
Oh, okay. What are you going there for?
Grandma's house.
Oh, good times. Going to Grandma's place?
He's planning his masturbatory schedule.
New Mexico? Yeah, you better pack some porn. How long are you going to be there? A couple of weeks?
Yeah.
What are you going to do there? Like help her with her rock garden?
Go find some other people to smoke out.
Oh, I'm sure she's just delighted.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you.
Oh, my God.
If I was, where is she going in New Mexico?
Carlsbad. The Carlsbad Cavern is.
If I was 15 and I was going to Carlsbad, by the way, New Mexico in the dead of summer to just rot away like a cool hand Luke in a sweat box over at Grandma's house. And let me tell you something, the problem about Grandma's house. Let me tell you about old people. They don't feel heat. They don't understand heat. You know who dies in those heat waves? Old people.
Yeah.
You know why?
They don't
notice it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens when you're old. You wear a sweater. You walk down to the store at 1 in the afternoon in New Mexico in the middle of July, and you put a sweater on before you leave the house. Seriously, you know the stories when a heat wave hits like the Midwest and all these old people are dying? They don't know to open a window or turn a fan on. They won't turn the air on to save their lives. Oh, he's going to go down there, and then it's going to smell like old person, and there's going to be mothballs everywhere. Oh, that's going to be the longest 2 weeks of his life. I'll tell you, I'd rather go to Rikers Island for 2 weeks and hang out with inmates. Or grandma's house. Oh.
First you think of your grandma.
Yeah, it's true. But you know the tough part about being a kid is you just get shipped off places, and that's it. Now, you know, everything I do in life I don't want to do, except for I decided I didn't want to do it, and I'm still doing it. That's totally different than when you get shipped off somewhere. Do you remember that feeling?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when you were like 11, 9, even 13 or something, and you go stay with some aunt or some friend or some family member, or even there was some friend of yours, and you were going to spend a long weekend over at his place, but maybe it was his grandparents' place or some relative's place or something, and you like walked in the door Friday about noon,
and you want to leave,
and you weren't shipping out until Monday evening.
Oh, yes.
And you walk in the door and you're thinking, Christ, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, how do I get out of here?
And
yeah.
Your mom's pulling away in the car.
Yeah, how do you survive this?
And it ain't even happening. And the place smells weird. It's got a funky smell to it. And they go, you'll be staying in this room. And you open the door and you look around. It smells funny. There's a weird picture up on the wall.
You imagine,
a clown or something.
Yes,
scary.
You imagine waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to go back to sleep.
Yeah,
there.
Or you do wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know where you are. You just know it smells weird. You can see that kind of clown face just from the light coming through. And then they always hit you with some kind of weird rule.
Yeah.
Like,
take
your shoes off before you come into this room or something. Or here's, if this year-round in the 70s, here's what you got hit with. Powdered milk. We serve powdered milk. It's like, they always eat something weird at someone else's house, too.
Yeah,
like they're making sandwiches, but it's deviled ham or liverwurst or some kind of something weird, too much mayonnaise and no tomato and cheese or whatever it is. It's not the way you like it.
Yeah.
And it's different and it's weird. And you want to know, like you want to say something, but you're 11 and you're going, oh, screw it. This is going to be a long weekend. And there's no cell phone, no pager, no cable TV, no nothing. No, you're not renting any videos either. Not like you got a big night ahead of you.
What video? Cable.
Yeah,
Fox is not there. You got three networks.
You got three channels. And let me tell you what the night is. 145 games of Battleship before you turn into that mothball smelling room.
Scrabble.
With the old Aunt Claire playing with you around the table. And the other thing that's weird, too, is like I come from a... you know, my family's all screwed up, but they're like atheists. And I go to the big pictures of Jesus everywhere.
Oh.
You know, you go stay with the weird religious aunt, and then she starts trying to sort of lay a little of that ideology down on you. That's the other weird thing. Oh, we're eating dinner. Drew, would you like to say grace? Oh, ho, ho, ho. And more powdered milk? Ooh. This is weird.
How come from your family?
Yeah, but I could just
even you.
Oh, I remember I had a friend named Roman. This guy was from like Chechnya or something. And we went and stayed with his aunt for like 3 days somewhere. Me, Roman, and this weird Chechnyan aunt. And, you know, pictures of God and powdered milk and weird smells and weird rules. And you'll be staying in this room. And it's like, oh, no, I'm going to kill myself. Thank God. John, and let me tell you something, you kids. You kids now, you don't know how good you have it. You can just get lost. Just go rent a movie.
Computer.
Turn on the cable. Turn on the internet. You just go get lost in it. But, no, we had Battleship and, don't spill the beans.
Don't break the ice.
And Scrabble, just to sit around all night. It was like it was some perpetual camping trip or something. It would never end. John?
Yes.
You're 20.
I'm 28.
Oh, yeah. You know, the 28s look like 20 from here.
Well, I'm lucky. I look currently 24, so.
That's good. That's
something good happening.
What's going on?
I'm dating a 19-year-old right now, and the mom's going nuts. You know,
whose mom? Her mom?
Yeah, her mom.
Yeah.
And she's just making it real difficult.
What's wrong with her going nuts?
She doesn't want me seeing her.
Is that kind of a heavy age difference, do you think? It's not awful, but it's pretty substantial.
It's substantial, you think so?
Well, it's
you know, it's not that she's 16, but it's...
Well, let me tell you this.
But I bet her mom's going nuts.
She's a lot more mature than the 31-year-olds I'm dating. I've been dating, you know.
Here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing mom's going nuts for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
What else doesn't she like about you?
Well, we've been family. I've been a family friend for about, let's say, about 6 years.
Ooh. There you go.
So you know, we hang out all the time, and then we've eventually developed a relationship.
Yeah. How old was she when that developed?
Oh, no. This is recent. This is about the past 3 months.
Okay. Yeah, she's been, she was giving me eyes, though, at the last.
Yeah, she's all grown now, right? Like, that little classic story.
Yeah.
And,
hold on a second. Let me talk about you to Drew without you interrupting. John doesn't really sound like 28, to be fair to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like 1920.
Yeah, but, again, that may be what Mom's freaking out about. And Mom may know, Mom may have been talking to John's mom for a while, that, oh, what are we going to do with John? He's barely out of college.
He's huffing coffee or toast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, John?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
What I do for a living? Right now, I'm a contractor.
What kind of contractor?
Well, I'm doing some flow painting right now, like interior design.
Yeah, I'm hip. That's a decent job.
Yeah, it's cool. It pays the bills right now.
You get your sponge out and your faux brush and you go to town.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a little gay, but fine.
Well, I'm a writer, actually, so I'm doing this just to sustain a living.
What kind of stuff do you write?
Kind of like...
science fiction?
No, like social commentary type stuff.
I see.
What's your training in?
Pardon me?
What's your training in?
What's my training in? I don't have any formal training. I graduated from Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah, you don't need any training to be a rat.
Social
commentary. Let me tell you what social commentary is.
What is it?
You know, why is it the hot dogs come in an 8-pack and the buns come in a 10-pack? That's your social commentary.
It's more related towards, like, ethnic issues.
I see. Yeah. Right, there you go. What are you? What are you, a Hispanic?
I'm Mexican, yeah.
There you go. That's what I like. I like a Mexican who calls himself a Mexican.
Yeah, of course.
What about all this Hispanic nonsense? All right, John. Listen, don't get her pregnant.
No. That's the first thing from
all
mom.
Right. And just be... Here's the deal.
Talk to Mom.
Here's the deal with moms and dads. Although, who knows if her dad's around. I'm guessing her dad's not around. Is her dad around?
No.
Yeah, okay. That's why she's in the shot, by the way.
Yeah.
And how'd I know Daddy wasn't around? Because she's 19, she's dating Daddy now.
Yeah.
Here it is, though. All the folks that have problems with the in-laws or the parents, you know, parents of the girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and for a host of problems, whatever. Sometimes there's an ethnic thing. She's this nationality. She's that religion. Once they get to know you as a person, provided you're a decent person, they'll drop it. Once they see you're sincere, once they see you're taking care of their baby, you're not doing anything weird to them, fine. So just hang out. There's really nothing to do to expedite that whole thing. Just be a decent guy. Let her know you're serious and sincere, and she'll leave you alone.
Yep.
We'll take a break. Yeah. Hey, Loveline. I'm a big daddy boy. Dr. Drew over there. And Duran Duran is going to be in here on Sunday night. We'll talk to those guys. Now we'll hop back on the phones. Tiffany?
Yes.
You can only orgasm when you use your vibrator.
Pretty much.
You got a boyfriend?
Working on it. kind of getting there.
I'm going to ask a question. I haven't heard the question yet.
Well, I'm reading. I just read it.
Yeah, well, that's a statement.
Oh, you want me to ask the question?
Yeah, what is the question?
My question, I guess, is do I need to give it up? I mean, do I need to throw away that battery-operated tool in order to have a natural orgasm, or am I screwed for the rest of my life now?
By natural, you mean during intercourse?
Yeah, exactly.
Had you been able to do that before?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With
who? I don't think just one particular person.
So you've never had too much difficulty with the orgasm.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, it's never been that easy for me. So it's not like I orgasm every time.
How easy is it with the vibrator?
Very.
What about just bringing the vibrator into the whole action?
Well, that's great sometimes too, but it's just obviously not always going to be that way. So
why?
Well, also they feel, not they, he.
would feel intimidated, I would think, by that, you know, and not really happy with that.
Oh, well, how do you know? There's plenty of guys be into that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I'd be into it.
Absolutely.
As long as you made me think it was my idea.
Oh.
I'm very shallow.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess my fear is that...
You're desensitized yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I know.
How often are you going at it with this thing?
Oh, probably, I don't know, maybe 3 times, 4 times a week, maybe.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm going to do the love line, chick, orgasm, masturbation, vibrator, math. 3-4 times a week, 2-5, 2-7 days a week. 9 times a week.
Oh,
wow. Pretty busy with that baby. All right, and what do you do with it? Do you just put the tip of it on your clitoris, or do you, yeah. you wedge it right up in there?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's an outer thing.
Yeah. Yeah, women, guys don't really realize how much the outer parts.
Look, just you got the clitoris is the penis.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I try not to think about sucking on the penis when I'm down.
When
there,
you were in development, you had a clitoris. It evolved into the penis. Same tissue.
It tried.
You almost did. You almost
did.
You're right.
All right, hey, Tiffany.
Yes.
You have a new man or what?
Yes.
And you guys are starting to get intimate?
Right.
And you have a little difficulty with the big O.
Yeah. I mean...
I hope you have the decency to fake for him.
I do, and I
good
feel
girl.
Bad because
that's good,
he doesn't know, but...
All right, well, then don't worry about it.
But, you know, I mean, eventually he would probably figure it out.
Okay, well, why don't you wean yourself... I'll tell you what. Put that vibrator down, and then the next time, if you can pry it out of your greasy hand, and then the next time you guys get it on, you'll be ready for one.
All right.
When are you going to see him next?
Oh, a couple days.
Couple days. All right. No vibrator. You hear me?
All right.
I know it's going to be hard because. Let me tell you about masturbating, no different than diet, no different than anything, quitting cigarettes, whatever it is. I mean, whenever I think I got to stop eating so much, here's how it goes. Got to stop eating so much. I got to stop eating so much. I really got to cut back on the eating so much. Eating. Got to eat. Eat. That's right. Eventually, I just eliminate all the other words around it, and this is left with the one word. You know, booze, cigarette, whatever. All the other stuff goes away. I'm just left with that one word, and then I'm just thinking, eat. My mantra becomes eat, not got to stop eating so much.
Eat more.
Eat. Yeah. You want to go on a diet? You just got to forget about eating.
Yeah.
You got to not think about it.
Yeah.
And there's no way... you sit around and go, not going to masturbate, not going to masturbate. The hand is down my pants on the third time I think it. Yeah. It's not going to happen. I don't know what you do, though. What do you do?
Start running.
Start jogging. Yeah. Suzanne?
Yeah?
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
My mom, right, she's with this boyfriend, and she, my little sister was telling me that her boyfriend was messing around with her.
In what way?
Huh?
In what way?
He put his thing inside of her.
He's having sex with her?
Yes.
How old is she?
She's only 8.
Oh, my God. You must, so what did you do?
I turned it in.
To whom?
I called the cops. Like, right now, my sister's in child care, and she's crying. They won't let family have contact with her nephew because she's in child care, and she's in a foster home. They won't let me see her or talk to her. They said no family members right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you did the right thing.
And, like, my mom seen her, right? She said she heard it and shut the door. And then she was telling her mom, you know you've seen it. She's like, no, mija, I don't know what you're talking about. You're lying. And my mom's white and she wants to be Mexican.
Your mom's white and she wants to be Mexican?
Yeah, she wants to be Mexican.
Wait a minute. You're Mexican, right?
No.
Well, how do you get... Where's the mija stuff come from?
My mom. She thinks she's Mexican.
Well, wait a minute. Is your dad Mexican?
My dad. He's white. And that's why they broke up, because
she wants to be Mexican. My dad said, no, you're white. Because I didn't marry no Mexican. I married a white girl. Hello. Be happy for who and what you are.
That's right, mijo.
Yeah.
I mean, mija. Mija is a girl, and the mijo is a guy. The O is masculine in Spanish. Yes, here's what I learned in 4 semesters of Spanish. Mi amo es Paco. I don't even know what my name is. Paco, I'm guessing means Adam in Spanish.
And like she was like, and she told her mom several times that he messed with girls. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. No, he didn't.
All right, listen here, Shiho.
Disaster.
I don't know where to begin. Thank God you have a sense of humor about it.
See, I'm sorry going through this. I'm sorry your sister's suffering, but it's the best circumstance for a tough situation. And it doesn't sound like your mom's in a position to be sort of in command of the ship right now.
Did your sister get removed from the family because you reported this?
No, actually, she didn't get removed from the family like that. She just got removed from my mom, and no family members can go see her right now.
All right. And what's your mom do for a living?
My mom? She lays on her ass all day.
All right. Well, I can see you have great respect and admiration.
I love your mom dearly. Yes.
And where's your dad?
Yeah, right.
Wow, Suzanne.
Wow. Hey, Suzanne?
Yeah?
Listen to me. I have 7 seconds left to talk to you, but I'm going to dedicate the entire 7 to you. Wait, I'm sorry. It's down to 3 now. No, listen to me, mijo. Don't get pregnant. Don't look at all guys as daddy. Be careful with the guys. Go to college. Study. Move out. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Have a good life. Don't ruin your life.
Keep some close friends around.
Have good friends, not the ones who wear too much eyeshadow and their hair feathered back. Understand?
Yeah.
Don't get pregnant. Please don't get pregnant. Not for a long time, okay?
Okay.
All right, mijo. We'll take a little break. We'll be back.